What's the title of this thing?
Is it rolling, Bob?
Check. And welcome to what may be the start of my third Newfoundland road trip podcasts. I want to apologize for the first one. I'm usually when I'm at home doing these things. Of course, I always put tunes in between my long monologues, and I listen back to the one that I just put out, the first one, starting in Matane or Momigny, I guess. And there's no gap between, you know, I'm talking and oh my God, you've had 15, 20 minutes of me rambling on, and then bam, there's my voice right back at you again without any break. So, of course, you've got a pause button, which you can use anytime, but I think it's a little nicer if I do it on my end and try and put in music or a sound effect or something to give you a little bit of a break from one long rant to another, especially if you actually listen. You know, my God, then it's even harder. Anyway, I wanted to tell you that I'm in a very happy place once again. And that's allowed, that's permitted, thank you. So much so that I think I just decided I'm going to stay a second night here doing nothing. Now, I haven't done two nights anywhere yet. In this place in Lessee, which I found really, really by chance. There wasn't a plan. The plan is I've got to make my way to St. John's and then to Argentia and get on a ferry for Nova Scotia and go see Cliff. That's the plan. But I've got days between having to get to St. John's. And so I went up the La Baie Verte, I guess, the Green Bay. And where the French were fishing here much earlier, and then the English came, and they sort of sometimes took turns and played nice and sometimes didn't. But anyway, fishing along the coastline, and this is a place that has that kind of a history, and a very small town, but a campground at the very end of it on the tip where I'm sitting right now on a bench overlooking the rocks and the water, and there's nobody around. There's a couple of hiking trails nearby. A very kind lady, Beverly, who manages the place, has been for 10 years. I guess I have to backtrack. I was driving along Highway 1. I thought, no, this is Highway 1, the Trans-Canada Highway, the TCH, as it's shown here. It's just a boring drive. And so stopped at a fish and chip place that was right on the intersection heading up to this La Baie Verte. And I thought, well, yeah, okay, why not? I don't really know anything about it. And there was one place called Fleur de Lis at the end of the road, and I have this thing about going to the end of the road. And but I stopped. There was a little tourist information in the bigger town, which name I already forget, and I don't have my map handy. Said, oh, well, there is a campground in La Cie. But I was determined to go up to Fleur de Lis anyway. And I went up there, I took two pictures, turned around and came back. Got stuck behind a transport truck, I guess loaded with fish. The water was leaking out the back, going up and down hills on a windy road, and took quite a while before there was a chance to pass. God, I'm giving all these details that aren't really that important. But anyway, okay, here's the point. I was a little dissatisfied as I drove back. Then what was the point of that? It was like 60 kilometers or an extra 30 kilometers there, 30 back. I didn't make use of it. There was actually some information. There was soapstone there, and the Inuit people, I guess, had traded here at one point. There was a history, and I ignored it. I didn't realize until I got back there was a history. And I scolded myself for, okay, that was a waste, a lot of gas wasted, money that I'm spending too much of. There was no point to it. But let's go where we should have gone in the first place, which is this road to La Cie. and got here, and at the end of the road, there's a campground. There is one other vehicle here by chance, a Road Trek 190, just like mine, a French-Canadian couple, I believe. And no other places. And so I just came in, picked out a spot, parked the van, and Beverly came and found me. And my goodness, what a character, what a friendly woman. Drove me back to the office. I mean, that was a short walk, but do you want a ride? And sure, I'll take the ride. Got to the office, realized I didn't have my wallet. I'll drive you back. Drove me back to my van, which again, a very short ride. Then drove me back to the office. She said she only learned 5 words of French that they taught her, and that was fermer la bouche. And it just broke me up. A wonderful person. Anyway, I sat here and realized I don't really need to leave. I've got days to spare. This view I'm looking at reminds me of my time as a young man in Matala, Greece, right, and where the caves were, and the little inlet we stayed, this little fishing village of Matala. And I've got that same feeling, and I'm thinking back, well, we stayed there, we must have stayed there a week or something. We just, you know, hey, this is where you chill. And that's the feeling I've got about this place. Like, why would you leave? You're $25 a night. Nobody else around. You're not going to find a better place, a better view, little fishing boats coming and going. And my goodness, I could do a laundry tomorrow. And what I would do is I'd book another night, keep the spot, and then just drive to the nearby coves. There's a few little coves nearby, and just explore a little and have another whole nice day of not much traveling and just really doing the thing I came to do, was hang out and chill. And so that seems like an awfully good idea. All right, my beer's empty. I think I'm going to head back to my campsite. But I wanted to share that. I'm on this bench where Beverly first found me. Just such an incredible, incredible view. Yeah. And a simple decision like that, hey, you could stay another night. You wouldn't believe how liberating that feels. Yeah, I don't have to keep moving. I like it here. I think I'll stay another night. So, there you go. That's as big as the decision I made at Bark Lake to say, hey, I don't think I want to go to Vancouver this year. I think I want to go to Newfoundland. On that note, as I sit here, I'm also thinking about Long Beach on Vancouver Island and thinking down there is a trip. Because I guess here's the deal. You come to a place, you enjoy it. And when you get to be my age, 70, and actually even a lot earlier than that, you get to places, and when you're young, there's always a feeling, oh man, I'm going to come back here. I'm going to come back here. You're always thinking you'll be back sometime. If you missed anything, you'll get it the next trip. And then you reach a stage in your life where you realize, no, I don't think so. So I can look back feeling very, very grateful that I did so much traveling when I was young and that I had so many adventures and saw so many great places. And so there's a very good chance I'll never get back to Europe, partly the cost, partly, I guess mainly. I suppose that's a factor. That's not necessary. I mean, it's free airfare. I know I could if I really wanted to, but probably would not make another trip to Newfoundland. There's a very good chance I would not do that again. Who knows, 5 years down the road, I feel different. But right now, I'm thinking no. But it feels like time to go to Vancouver Island. So, yeah, I'm getting ahead of myself, as I often do. But it's all with pleasure and satisfaction. I've just read another useful little mini chapter in Buddhism Is Not What You Think, and I have to reread it. I know it's important, and I wasn't fully digesting it. It's Not a Matter of Belief is the name of the chapter, and it's how we create artificial constructs just to survive in life, you know. But we should never be fooled by thinking that these forms that we've created and patterns to organize our reality are, in fact, reality. They are just mental constructs. While they may comfort us for a time, ultimately they will only lead us to pain and confusion, simply because whatever we tell ourselves must always remain dubious. Like we know we're not knowing at the truth. Maybe I'll just read this passage for you, if you don't mind. Oh, mosquito, you little fucker. But as you may have realized already, we can't make sense of the world through these means. Our beliefs and ideas simply won't support their own weight. These are beliefs that have been passed on to us, like our religion or something. This is why if we lumber through life trying to make sense of experience by holding to our beliefs, our concepts, our models of reality, then deep down we'll feel insecure and confused. In other words, don't give in to those false constructs. This doesn't mean that we can't or shouldn't have beliefs. When it comes to getting along from day to day, we can't help but have a wide variety of beliefs. Most of us believe it's best to obey traffic laws and practice good hygiene. Beliefs such as these are functional and often necessary, but when it comes to the big questions, how did I get here? Where am I going? What is reality? What's life all about? The stories we come up with to supply us with answers fall short. Okay, how did I get here? Where am I going? What is reality? What's life all about? We don't have good answers for those, it would appear. So our belief structure, while it may comfort us for a time, ultimately they will only lead us to pain and confusion. I've read that. We need to recognize that there's something wrong with such questions in the first place. We need to see that they come out of our mental constructs, our egoistic desires, fears, and speculations, rather than out of direct experience or out of just seeing. So now, that's kind of, it sounds like a bit of a dodge to me, doesn't it? Like, those questions almost aren't important because they come out of our minds. How did I get here? Where am I going? What is reality? How can we not ask those questions? What's life all about? We need to see, we need to recognize that there's something wrong with such questions in the first place. Oh, sorry, got that mosquito. Another reality going on concurrently. We need to see that they come out of our mental constructs, our egoistic desires, fears, speculations, rather than out of direct experience, out of just seeing. Only by learning to recognize such confusion within our own thinking can we stop embroiling ourselves further. But the way we embroil ourselves are varied and subtle. Okay. I don't know if that helped you or helped me. But let's see. I'm jumping ahead. Whatever we do, however we live, there will always be an aroma, an atmosphere, a flavor to our life and to our experience in this moment. But Zen is about not getting caught by this or that form, this or that belief. Though people and circumstances continuously pull in different directions, we have to look at what we ourselves are actually doing. We need to see what's taking place within our own heart and mind. We need to see what we cling to, what we insist on, what we're fearful of losing. Okay, so this part of the book I am getting, and it's just asking you to look at your own life, you know? What are we afraid of losing? What are the things we insist on? Over and over, we need to bring ourselves back to what we're doing now in this moment, and that is true. Like, hey, I'm right now holding a recorder in my hand, sitting on a very hard bench, looking over the coastline here on Baie Verte in Newfoundland, a place where fishermen came long ago, and I'm admiring the view. I'm feeling comfortable. I feel nicely perched. Nicely perched. That's not a bad one. Anyway, there you have it, folks. Trying to hold on to this reality, and when you try to hold on, you lose it again. I'm reading silently. All right, I'll read the last paragraph. What disturbs, frightens, and confuses us is our thought, our beliefs, what we form in our minds. In particular, it's those notions that are expressed mainly in terms of our own ego. This is how we unwittingly entangle ourselves in realities and matters of little or no consequence. This is what keeps us mired in ignorance and confusion. We only need to see that this is so, and thus break free immediately. And that's the end of that section. And the next section, part three, is called Purely Mind. So I'll get started on that tomorrow. Thank you for following along with me. It's funny, you know, I do not want to pick up the geography book. The geography part itself is interesting, just the reality, the physical reality of rock formation and volcanoes and everything else that goes with it. But when it is a little history section at the end, you know, picks a year and an event, every one of them is just so bloodthirsty. Every one of them is just nothing but people being killed on battlefields. And it's an ugly fucking thing. I've been spared that all my life, and I'm grateful for that. And I guess that's, I hope more people who are in situations like I am also feel that. And maybe there is some obligation that comes with that, and besides just the gratitude, I don't know. But when you look at human history, what an ugly fucking bloody thing it is. And how nice to be in a place that doesn't feel like that at all. It feels very safe and comfortable and friendly. Bye for now. Yes, indeed. Good morning. It is about 9:30 Newfoundland time. Sitting in the front seat of my road track, parked, overlooking the sea, or an inlet, really, bay, full of rocks. I've posted many pictures. If you follow me on Facebook, you will have seen my road trip to Newfoundland 2018 photo album, and I've posted a lot, and I've taken decent pictures. I don't mind saying that. I mean, come on, I've been a photographer. No, I've been taking pictures since 1967. Two of my best friends in high school were photographers. I got an eye for it, and I know what I'm doing. But these are just photos with my iPhone, but of things that have caught my interest. The thing I do, a lot of people don't do, is I crop. And, you know, a good photographer doesn't have to crop, he composes, but sometimes with the camera, you can't always get what you want, and you got to zoom in or something, you're dealing with these features. And anyway, I don't need to justify my pictures. I crop to make a better photograph and get the perspective correct and the framing and so on. And I think a lot of people are enjoying them, and it tells a story. I'm really glad because I've got a better record of what I'm doing. Oh, my neighbor's coming to visit me. Hang on. Yeah, I'm back. That was Alistair knocking on my door. My neighbor, who I met last night, and it's quite a story. Anyway, the one thing I don't know if I even said it was, I didn't get my coffee this morning. I turned on the generator to get power to the outlets because I'm not plugged in here. And the generator died, and it worried me, of course. It's, my God. Might be out of fuel, might be because I'm parked at a bit of an angle and it's just not getting. But anyway, it started up and it died. And I am very low on fuel. Stupid of me. I mean, I keep an eye on it very much and check how many miles or kilometers to go. But I ran a little low yesterday knowing it wasn't a good idea. But anyway, maybe that's the reason, maybe not. At any rate, I could not make coffee, and Alistair just came. They were just leaving, knocked on my door with a pot of coffee. Said, we were very neighborly. I forgot to offer you coffee this morning. Here you go. So I filled my thermos and the cup. This beautiful red cup I bought on Rue Saint-Jean in Quebec City. I know I've mentioned that before, but it's just, little things mean a lot to me. Now, I'd like to think everybody's like that, but sometimes I don't know how sensitive people are. Like the spoon I used to eat my cereal that I just used just now, I bought at Honest Ed's in 1975. Well, hell, that's precious to me. It is, and I've got a house full of these artifacts, and I know, hey, you're setting Zen, or you're reading this stuff, you're not supposed to hang on to objects. Well, it doesn't really say that, but don't be overly consumed by them, I guess. Anyway, come on, get it straight. It's wet, it's raining. It rained last night, long after we put out the fire. I guess I have to backtrack. I was in Lassie, and the last time I talked to you, I said, I'm going to stay a second night. Then I got out the map, and I started looking at distances and times and needing to catch a ferry, which I booked this morning from Argentia to North Sydney, $350, all in. And luckily, I'd planned to leave on a Thursday, and it only runs on the Thursday and Saturday or something like that. So I just timed it right. Anyway, that gives me another week. It's Thursday today. So it's Thursday what? Oh, man. I just, August 30th. Okay. Boy, oh, boy. What a smudge budge. So I looked at that map, decided it's too far to go. You know, if I want to see Twillingate, if I want to see, you know, St. John's, if I want to do all this stuff, I can't stay another night. So pick this spot. Mostly from the name, Leading Tickle. That is the name of the place. And this Ocean View Campground. And there was a spot, number 8. Right, I just drive in. I couldn't back in. I wouldn't dare. I was terrified. But it's right on the water. I mean, that's what I'm looking at my front windshield. It's the sea. It's gorgeous. Again, I've posted pictures. There'll be more. But there was a big trailer park next to me. I didn't see those folks at all till later on in the afternoon. And there are a couple from around St. John's. She was born actually not far from St. Anthony's, where I was. Goose Bay, I guess. Or Goose Cove, maybe. I don't know. But wonderful couple. And so, you know, he built a fire, and I just said, do you mind if I join you for a few minutes? And I walked over, and I brought them a log, you know. And he said, oh, you paid your rent. And we got into the wine. I had my wine. And next thing, they're filling my cup and her cup and his cup, and a lot of wine was consumed. They were the nicest people, and with Alistair had the most amazing conversation, like about his background, his father, Newfoundland, identity, Canada. We eventually did get on to religion and Buddhism and history, a lot of history. It was absolutely wonderful. A person, a well-educated man who was just very, very decent guy. So he got interested and he asked about Buddhism a little, and I stumbled over a couple of answers. I really didn't have any possible good way of explaining anything. But I had thought, you know, that primer I got, Buddhism Plain and Simple. I'm pretty sure I've packed that in the road trek, and sure enough, there it was. I took a picture of the cover in case I feel the need to buy a replacement copy, and I knew the right thing to do was to give it to them this morning before they left. Oh, God, they've left. Oh, I didn't even wave goodbye. Oh. Well, I'm leaving shortly. Anyway, we had our goodbyes with a pot of coffee and so on, but I should have been out there waving. Oh. How unneighborly of me. Anyway, it was delightful. It was my first real encounter over time to have a real conversation with a Newfoundlander. And what a great guy. So it felt good giving him this book. He was very happy. And I had a little Trillium pin from Ontario, which I gave to his wife. Can't remember her name. But it just made the trip. And it's funny because on the road here, I had to ask myself, well, what's the purpose of all this? What's the meaning of this trip? I don't know if I already brought that topic up. And I didn't have a good answer. But part of it, I realized when I left Lassie, was, well, it's just to explore, to take chances, to see new places. And that's really what I'm doing on this trip. And it's, you know, you pick a spot on the map and you get yourself there with the help of your iPhone, telling you the mileage or kilometers and whatnot. Because a lot of, he said there's no straight lines in Newfoundland, and that's for sure. But these wonderful little places, and this just turned out to be a gem. And then on top of it, it wasn't just the location, it was to actually meet a couple and spend an evening with them. And that was a real, real highlight. And he gave me a lot of good tips, including, hey, you better book that ferry soon. Yeah, which I did. So, I don't know, I haven't done a very good job of capturing what was, for me, one of the highlights of this trip. It's all been good. But now, it's a rainy day. Like, it's rain. And so I'm going to drive, I think, to Twillingate anyway. Because it's a bit of a tourist town, but you have to do it. It's less than a 3-hour drive, apparently. And that's what I'm going to do. So I'm going to leave that there. I'm going to, if I got some time, if it's still raining, I'll do a little housekeeping. Like I booked the ferry. I've got to pay my insurance for my car and else I got to call them and get that taken care of. And I think I should cobble together the podcast that'll be previous to this one, which I've already got enough clips to make one, and try and get that out there if I can get Wi-Fi somewhere. So, Scarborough Dude! Sorry, this is just such a confusing mess, this little clip, but there are just so many good things about all of this, and part of it is adventure, and part of it is just learning as I go, you know, of you know, how to be a little more efficient in your movements, and so on. Again, I liken it to that Zen and the art of motorcycle maintenance. You know, you're breaking things down. You're analyzing a little bit. All right. Goodbye. Check. I'm going to make one more short clip here. Horizontal again, the back of the road track in a parking lot outside. Oh, damn, what does it say? Hang on. The Twillingate Dinner Theater. Twillingate Dinner Theater. I'm in Twillingate, obviously. That was the plan today. It wasn't too far to drive. Got gas. Generator's working now. It was low on fuel, I guess. And there was a campground here. Sounded nice. Another one of these ocean-type places. I drove there, and it was just a shithole. Well, it was like a big open parking lot. Lots of gravel and no privacy. It was terrible. Absolutely terrible. And I refused. I'm not going to pay money to plug in here. I was prepared to do anything. But they had told me I'd stop at a tourist info on the way in. And they said, oh, well, it's raining, but there's a dinner theater. That's something you could do. And museums and a winery. I went to the winery. It was also kind of touristy and a ripoff. So I didn't even bother to taste it. Just didn't feel like it. And so anyway, I drove back to this dinner theater, and I said, tell me the deal. And she said, well, we got a supper. It's salmon or cod or chicken. And then there's some music, and then there's some comedy skits. And it's, $37, maybe $42 with tax. And I said, okay, well, in a cash bar. And I said, the problem is I like to have a drink with my meal, and I got that road track out there, and I don't want to drive. Can I park it in your parking lot? Oh, yeah. When campers, we've got some campers, and so people do. So I had just parked it, and then a wonderful character, I swear, it could have been out of a cartoon. The accent, an old guy came up, knocked on my door, you parked the wrong way. And instead of parallel to the water, I had to be backed up to the water, and there was another vehicle beside me did the same, so he guided us in, and just laughter and joy, just over the simple act of reparking with this character waving me in and making jokes, and now we can have another drink. Just, it was delightful, just delightful. So there you go. For instead of paying $25 for a shitty campground because it was the only one in town, fuck that. And I really like that kind of thing of taking control of the day. And so for instead of $42, I got a meal and entertainment and a nice place to stay, a better place to stay than the parking lot, but it's right by the water. So it's a win-win-win. Anyway, I just thought I'd tell you, maybe I'll tell you a little bit of performance later on, but again, it's this thing of the satisfaction that just getting through each day doing the simple things you do. I passed a co-op, and I know they're the best places to buy stuff, so bought some steaks, bought a whole chicken instead of, I'm not going to restaurants, tonight being an exception, and a couple of things here and there, but... bought a whole chicken for $11, and boy, it just out of the rotisserie, and I just tore into that. It was so good. But then now just broke the rest of it up, put it in the container, put it back in the fridge, so that'll keep. And just, pack of croissants for $4. Oh my God, they were also oven fresh. And those will be good with the chicken. And just the simple little things of you got to feed yourself. Taking a dump. Well, okay, got to have a dump. Well, a shopping mall with a co-op, of course, they're going to have a toilet. And I know that may sound silly, but it's incredibly satisfying to take care of business. The things you have to do, get them done in an orderly fashion without a whole lot of fuss and bother. And it just everything feels good. And being parked here now, being able to lie down for an hour before I go in for dinner. I'm at a table with five other people. I don't know. They'll all be strangers, but that's fine. I'm very sociable. Again, I repeat about last night with the couple next door. It was so nice to sit there, and he just kept topping up my glass, and she kept getting hers topped up, and we had this most amazing conversation. And especially, this guy, a lot on World War II. And Newfoundland's role, of course, Newfoundland was a separate country then. It was not part of Canada. So, just probably the most meaningful time. And it answered that question. Well, what's the purpose of this trip? What are you doing? Well, it's just to explore every day. Have a new adventure. Something different. Tomorrow I'm going to go to Gander Airport because everybody's telling me you got to check out that airport. And after that, I'm not sure. I booked my ferry. Oh yeah, the other thing, when I was going to stay the second night in Lessee, I figured, well, I'm not going to waste the time here. And they had a laundromat. All the campgrounds have laundromat, and it's, put in four quarters. You got to get the quarters, and it's never enough, and the dryers never work long enough. And here it was $250 lot washing, $250. Dryer. Okay, it's an extra buck. Just drop $5 into the bucket. And nobody was in the campground by that point. I was the only one there. So, of course, I'm going to give an extra 30 minutes of the machine. And it felt so good. Again, that bit of satisfaction just to come out with all my clothes washed and clean, all set to go for the next week or so. It just, it felt doing stuff, getting by. Feels good. Simple as that. All right. Bye to hell. Bye-bye. Yeah, unfortunately, the road noise below me is carrying, and it's drowning out that wonderful sound of the fire. I finally got the fire just the way I wanted. I had logs, sort of half logs or even quarters, but they needed to be split further. When they're too big, they just don't burn well. You got to get them down into nice, pieces, maybe 2-3 inches big. Anyway, it's going well now. I'm still using the poker I picked up on Lake Huron. I'm very pleased with that. I call that my Lake Huron poker. And it's served me well over many fires. And I've even started using it a little bit as a walking stick. I'm using it right now as we talked. Because I've only got a little bit of wood left. I've got 4 pieces left now. And I feel good. There's a sense of satisfaction that comes with last night. Or was it last night? No, the night before. When I camped with beside the Newfoundland family. I gave them 1 block, and then I had just 1 bundle left, which I've cut up, made some kindling, made some of these good-sized pieces, and I've got very, very decent fire going here in Terra Nova National Park. I was heading for the big site, and I figured, okay, I want to get power back. I don't know why I wanted power back, but, you know, plug into 30 amp and have everything working. And it's interesting, the person at the visitor center said, yeah, it's very busy, it's a long weekend, and I had forgotten this was a long weekend, and places fill up. But there were 5 spots available, but then she pointed out another, and she said, but I prefer this other one, which has no electricity, and is quieter. And she pointed out on the big campground, the main one, you know, closer to Highway 1, you even have to share a fire pit with another campsite. Well, who the hell wants to do that? So I took her advice and I backtracked about 12 kilometers. And here I am. There are a lot of empty sites, although they're all people are coming in tomorrow. So I've decided I could have had a spot for 2 nights. But I've been in a different place every night and I'm going to keep that up. I'm just deciding now what to do with this long weekend. I already miss the rural parts. Well, not rural, the small fishing village towns that I just enjoyed so much, the few that I went to, and being able to camp right on the water. And I'd like to find that again, but now as I get closer to St. John's, I think it's less and less likely. The north peninsula, I guess, was a little more remote. And anyway, today is Friday, August 31st, and I'm leaving by ferry next Thursday, so I've still got a few days left. So I was wondering if maybe I should go into St. John's for this weekend, but holiday weekend, since the main thing I want to do there is, well, besides Signal Hill and the other stuff, really is going to a pub and drink. And, you know, meet some people. So, I don't know what I'm going to do tomorrow. And that's kind of the way the whole trip has been. Just not really knowing until, you know, the day unfolds and you take what you get. There was still rain today, and just luckily, by the time I got it, Jesus Christ, hot spark on my shoe. By the time I got in here, it had stopped. I actually had sunshine and was able to read. I had a little nap. I am still very much enjoying this this bit. I cooked my steaks tonight. It's amazing the difference in quality of steak. I mean, these were, it was okay. They were sirloin. But I can't even remember the name or the cut of the ones I had before, but oh my God, they were just so fabulous. And this is here you just know you're eating a piece of meat. But it was still good anyway, and I had cooked extra. I froze 1 piece. I didn't realize the freezer in my fridge actually works as a freezer. Jesus, it's amazing, this little machine. So I froze 1 steak, and I've got here, of course, with the generator, you can fire up your microwave. You can do pretty well anything. Okay. That's just a bit of an update. Here I am at, it's called Melody Head Terra Nova National Park. And it's just, it's off Highway 1 and near a town called Troy. But none of that's much interest, is it? I guess I just wanted to say I'm still enjoying, I'm reading those 2 books, the one on geography, the one on Buddhism. I am sending out emails. I am enjoying posting a lot of pictures, which people seem to be enjoying. And I've got my glass of wine. And I'm going to burn this fire until those last four sticks are gone. I think, although I could save them. If I split them up, they'd make good kindling, but no. I think I'll burn till they're done and see what tomorrow brings. There's one other option. There is a beach campground not too far away. I'm thinking it might be full, and you just don't know until you get there. Like the one I went to in Twillingate, it was a disgusting campsite, and I'm so glad I did what I said I did, you know, went in for the dinner theater. The music was good. The skits were, you think of the worst, the corniest thing you've ever seen on CBC, and just drop it down about, you know, another 5-10 notches in terms of corniness, and is, you know, that's really not that funny. But it gets so bad, and the acting's so bad, that it is almost funny. So there was that, and it was just a perfect place to spend the night. Just parked in the parking lot in front of this place by the water. So, yours truly. It feels like the vacation is winding down, but man, I've still got weeks to go. I talked to my son today and asked him to open up all the bills and send them to me, tell me what's due and when. Good exercise for him, and I don't want to be running into paying interest on the fat visa bills and things. Okay, boy, that was pretty mundane, wasn't it all? I did have good passages from the book, but now it's too dark for me to reach for it and read to you, so we'll just leave it here. Scarborough Dude, signing off. I'm guessing you can hear the waves, water coming in on the beach. It's a rocky beach. Maybe a little wind, too. I'm in, I forget the name already. Something Beach, anyway. Picked it out on a map. Gave them a call this morning, and yeah, they had a spot. And it's a family campground, and it's actually ideal for families. I'm facing, sitting right out the open sea right now, mountains all around. It's quite beautiful. But behind me there's also an inlet, a cove, where they've got a section for swimming and kayaking and stuff for the kids. And a big playground. Now, the one thing I make a rule of when I go camping is, all right, just put me anywhere, but just don't put me near the kids' playground. So when I came in, they offered me electric, you know, and that would be up sort of in the woods a little bit. I said, no, I want to be on the beach, and I could see the beach from as I drove in. They said, well, you could put there's no hookup or anything, but wherever there's a picnic table, you can just park. So for $30, which is not cheap, but good enough, I said, sure, I'll take it, being a long weekend. And parked and have been thrilled and delighted with it. And then since I got here, two more vehicles have come in, motorhomes, done the same thing. But I just took a look. And it's one of those weird things I try to fight. Like, I'm really particular about where I sit. If I go into a bar, or a restaurant, man, I got to be in the right seat or I'm just not going to be happy. And it's not the best seat. It's not necessarily what another person would choose, but it's just, I just know that's where I need to be. And it's just very important to me. Because just, I don't know, just where you're situated just is important. So I needed to be on this water, and I'm on this water. But since I just stepped out just a few minutes ago and looked at where the other two vehicles are parked, they're parked in better places on the same damn beach. They just parked further down, away from the bloody playground, and facing that lovely little bay. They have just a beautiful view front and back that I could have had. But I think I was in such a rush as soon as I saw this. Oh my God, there's some rocks for a fire pit. there's a picnic table, and further down there are some day campers. They're just, you know, here fishing. And so I'm having to fight this little nagging feeling of being dissatisfied. Once it's dark, it's not going to make any difference at all. But I'm just thinking, hey, Ken, you're slipping, you know. You wouldn't have normally made that mistake. You would have gone all the way down. But I just, I saw this, and it was almost that, in my frame of mind is, since somebody told me it was, you know, the holiday weekend's going to be hard to get places, I think it sort of put me in almost an anxious frame of mind that, oh, we've really got to get something. And you drive a long distance, and you don't know what you're going to get at the other end. And I've been very, very fortunate. I've just had great places. And this is one of them. It's just that now that I see where the other two motor homes part, and I was here before them, I should have parked further down. But what does it all matter? What does it all matter? What does it all mean? Does it matter? No, it doesn't matter. Is there a lot of meaning? Well, meaning is, hey, just stay sharper, man. You know, pay attention. Be aware. You know, that was my doing. But otherwise, it doesn't mean a whole lot. I got... You know, it's one of those lessons in life. Hey, asshole, you wanted to park on a beach. You're parked on a beach. And now you're complaining? Well, no, I'm not complaining. I'm just making an observation. But I do have what I wanted. And I'm sitting in my chair, my feet up on my little footstool. And I'm looking out at the water and the range of mountains. And it's, as the sun goes down, it's gone down now. The colors change, you know, they get into these browns and grays and blues, whatever. It's just beautiful. And for a while, I posted a picture. The sunlight was just catching the distant cliffs, and just looks like it brought them to life. And this is what I really needed today. I was in the woods last night, which was nice and beautiful on its own, but I said, no. I'm on Newfoundland, I have to be by the water's edge. So my job for tomorrow, I found the campground south of St. John's. I'm not going to go into St. John's yet. I'll go in the day after tomorrow. So I think tomorrow might be one of my last camping days. And I found a provincial park and a private park not too far from each other, so I could explore both. And they're both supposed to be on the water, so that is what I'm going for, but that's tomorrow, and this is now. I've been reading a whole lot. A lovely young lady, well, I don't know how old, but Chinese woman came by, speaking English, but working near Argentia, where the ferry is, on a huge construction project. I couldn't understand what her job was, because I asked her, but it was clearly, she spent years in Singapore getting a master's degree, so she's got a specialized trade, and was from Toronto, or lived in Toronto, and now has ended up here with her husband, who spent the afternoon fishing. And we got talking about Buddhism, and she pulled out her little charm, showing she's a Buddhist. And it was very charming. It was lovely. Another one of those strange little encounters with people that are important. They are important. Otherwise, I haven't spoken to anybody here, including the people in the motorhomes that have just come in. I'm almost tempted to get in mine and drive. I think I'm going to take a walk down that way. And if there is enough space, I'm tempted to even move, which is a very foolish thing to do. And it would be wrong. No, I won't do that. I won't do that. There is absolutely no point in moving. I'm back as close as I can be to the water. And that's what I want to hear when I lie down tonight. I want to go to sleep with the sound of the waves. I'll shut up now and you can hear them a little bit. I just wanted to add a little PS to that previous note about not taking the best spot that was available. I realized the Chinese woman who was talking to me was actually parked in the area where the other RV went into. So I wasn't going to take that. And there was only two picnic tables or three picnic tables along this whole stretch of beach where, you know, you'd want to park. You want to be beside a picnic table. And so they left at the end of the day, and that's when the other RV came and taken it, or I might have taken it myself. However, now that I've said that, of course, nobody's playing in the playground now. It's quiet. I've blocked off my front window, but if I stand up, there's these wonderful, the road tracks have three little windows in the roof as the roof slants upwards, and I can actually stand full height. My head is actually touching the spongy padded ceiling, but I'm looking out those windows. It's actually a beautiful view. I'm looking at the trailers, and they'll string up some lights along the side of the trailer, and then across that little bay, there's a village, I guess. And just a few huts or houses, just single lights. But it's a beautiful view all along there, standing up here looking out. And then, of course, that's out the front. And then at the back is where I've got the sea and the mountain range. I think I'm about to post yet another photo of the mountains as the sun was going down. I think a few people went down to the beach with fireworks or something. I don't know. It's a great spot, and I'm just very happy I found this. I've had a really good streak, and the only day when we had a whole lot of rain was the day I went to Twillingate and parked in their parking lot. Oh yeah, fireworks going. I got a view of fireworks. I don't know who's doing them, but right down on the beach, it's lovely. So, we're not talking about major fireworks, so we're talking shooting stars, but it's pretty cool. Anyway, I'm feeling good, satisfied, happy. So happy that I decided on this trip. I don't know what would have happened had I gone to Vancouver, other than it would have been, you've got to argue. It also would have been the right thing had I done that. There's no wrong thing in life. I know that's very questionable, but it's certainly the way I think. So, I am, whatever the case, very glad I came to Newfoundland, and I'm really enjoying this this solo trip. And no, I'm not trying to convince you or myself or anybody else. It's just, it's a place I had to come to. I'm very, very aware of getting older, and, very, very good chance I will never come back, and that's okay. I'm enjoying this trip, and that's enough. Scabber Dude, signing off. Good morning. You might hear some birds in the distance. Hang on while I pour my coffee. I made a nice little I made a pot this morning. I haven't for a couple of days. And then got out this wonderful Japanese thermos that Naoko gave me from Japan, and it keeps things hot. I think it's piping hot, if you put it in hot. And then I have this other water bottle that's just wonderful. It keeps things cold. I mean, it's just, what a world. I'm still, it's 10:30 in the morning. I guess this would be Sunday morning, September 2nd. I'm sitting on the beach where I parked my van last night. I posted a few pictures on Facebook showing this spot and how it was exactly what I was looking for, and I probably already told you that, but the evening sky when the sun went down, I posted one picture. I mean, to the left, and I'm looking straight out almost into the open. Yeah, check, check. Battery's died, but I'll leave that little. Piece these together. I was looking out almost into the open. You could see a very, very, very distant shoreline. And then to the left and to right to, high cliffs and rugged mountains and a lot of greenery on top and the beautiful cliff face. And the light strikes them from wherever the sun happens to be. And as the sun went down last night, the ones to the right, of course, just lit up. It looked beautifully. And then when I looked to the left, just before bed, there was this beautiful, it was just like the silhouette of the mountains, you know, and in the distance, they take on a different hue, and it's just gorgeous. And I took a photo, and it was very similar to one I took on Vancouver, in Vancouver, looking along the shoreline, you know, the same idea, the sun's going down, and you get these beautiful colors. There was a series of blues. Here it was more pinkish. Anyway, the beauty of being in coastal regions, and I am just so glad I found this spot. I just needed it yesterday. I need to be by the water, and it's something I'm going to miss a lot when I get back to the city. So anyway, it was a cool night, but I love that for sleeping. It's the best. And when I woke up early, the sky was a bit overcast. I thought, well, all right, that's the way the day is going to be. But it was amazing within just a matter of time how the clouds just shifted and moved and opened up to a beautiful, clear blue sky. Now there's some puffy clouds that are very picturesque. Oh, I just got to take another picture, and it'll mean nothing, but it's just pure happiness looking at these puffy, happy, beautiful, soft, white, cottony clouds just up ahead. Oh, my God. And an expanse of blue sky. Oh, it's absolutely gorgeous. And no, I'm not high. You know, that's the funny thing. Maybe on this whole trip, on maybe two occasions, litten up a bit of a roach and not even really gotten high. And don't even feel like it. I've just been, you know, it's sort of a natural high of just being in this environment. Sitting around a fire, of course, I didn't have a fire last night, but the other nights, it's been a wonderful tie-in with the Buddhism I'm reading now about the transitory nature of life and nothing is, there is no constant and so on. I wanted to read, I read from the book this morning. I've gotten right near the end. I started on the middle because I've gone through this book four or five times. And it's just resonating in such a wonderful way. You know, I can almost understand that. I can almost see that. But, you know, you get glimpses of understanding. But there's a part of you that just knows on another level. It's not that I'm saying I'm getting closer to enlightenment. No, not at all, and I never will. But just looking at reality in a slightly different way, it's like a wonderful puzzle to try and fathom the interconnectedness of it all and you know, how everything we live is sort of this false construct, this makeup. But anyway, to go over the passage, I'd have to read at least two pages to you, and that's not necessarily entertaining reading. So let me just get back to enjoying the puffy clouds and my hot coffee. I do have a plan for today. I may have mentioned it yesterday. I think I'm going to head south of St. John's to be on the eastern part of the island and try and get one more. I saw one private campsite. It only had 12 sites. But it says Ocean View, so, and if not, there's a provincial park nearby, so we'll see what happens. I'll let you know. One of the other, I talked about the simplicity of this sort of travel, and you wake up and you lie in bed, and then you just think for a little minute, okay, what am I going to have? You know what you've got. It's not like going to the store or going to your house and you got everything there. You know you've only got a few things. You have the necessities. Like last night, I just finished some leftover pasta and then made a hot chicken sandwich, which means I sliced open a croissant, which was still fresh, and heated up some chicken in the microwave. All that was missing in mayo was mayonnaise, and I had it in my hand at one store, and I just decided I don't need mayonnaise, and that was a mistake. Yes, I did need mayonnaise. But anyway, it was a tasty sandwich, and that was good. And this morning, all I thought of was, okay, this is the morning to fire on the generator because there's nobody around. You're not going to bother anybody. And make that pot of coffee. And that was the first thing. And then hot cereal in the microwave. You know, the little packages of instant cereal. And then I top it up with, I found a new Kellogg's brand of flakes with all kinds of other stuff thrown in. It's one of the best I've had. And then top that up with yogurt and milk. And that's a fine start to the day. And no, I didn't have hot chocolate and brandy. I think I posted that in a tweet. And that was pretty good, too, the days I didn't feel like making coffee. Wow. I forgot I had a little thing of brandy I took out of my basement bar as part of my supplies. So, I mean, there's a happiness just to that, too. Lying there and thinking, okay, that's what I'll do, and what order you're going to do it in, and what you need to get to do it, you know, and where the coffee pot is stored, and where the filters are. And I keep moving the filters. And each time it's a puzzle, you know. Everything else has a place. But for some reason, I have kept the coffee filters separate from the coffee, and that's a dumb move. So now they are with the coffee. Coffee maker, I mean. Anyway, all this may again sound trivial, but it's a reflection of happiness. The wonder was just seeing that sky sort of open up, and suddenly it's just another beautiful day. I'm cozily wearing my Barklake shirt that I bought for $50 at Barklake that I just love. It's like sometimes clothing gives you happiness too. Sorry if I sound like I'm shouting. I'm holding this rather close maybe. You hear dogs barking in the background, and yes, I'm still at the playground. The other two vehicles that were here left long ago. I'll leave. I'll be gone before noon and on the road, and I may do a little exploring on the way. But I just wanted to touch base, and once again, I'm just going to be seeing the same damn things. You know, I'm enjoying tweeting out there. I'm enjoying posting these photos, and I've had quite a few people who say, keep posting pictures, Ken. We're enjoying them. I've put them all in an album, Newfoundland Road Trip 2018, so easy to find, and it's always a treat when somebody posts a comment, or even just a like, or even better, a love. Ooh, that's a good one. But, yeah, so I'm still in touch with my friends out there, and that's kind of nice, but also very much on my own. And of course, it'll always be nice to get back home, but we'll save that for the time. I noticed I've run out of one particular medication that the refills came in the night before I left, and I didn't feel like going, didn't think I needed it, and now I'm sort of counting the days. Oh, I might be short those pills that have been on for many, many years. But I'll deal with that if and when I have to. I haven't counted out the days yet till I leave. Anyway, that's it. I'm going to try and keep these things short. And basically, this is just meant to be a joyful message. I'm sitting facing directly on the water, and it's just to the left, to the right, just seeing mountains and shoreline and blue sky. It's just such a glorious thing. And unlike Bluffer's Park, where I'll see a tow truck and a gang of East Asians hanging out smoking weed and litter everywhere and noise, this has none of that. And it's a welcome change. Scabber Dude, a happy one today. Signing out. Bye for now.
Thank you.